Welcome back to The Avenue, and I'm your host, Zara Chanel, y'all. This is episode 13. Whoop, whoop. Look at me doing stuff, y'all. You know, the spirit of procrastination and the spirit of not seeing things through has run rampant in my life, and I'm just blessed, and I'm happy, and I'm just sticking to things, and I'm seeing them forward, y'all. I feel like God is moving in my life. I don't know what is about to happen, but I feel like he's shaking the table. He's preparing me for something big, y'all, and I'm ready. Of course, things are not perfect. My life is not perfect. Nobody's life is perfect. But right now, I'm in a stage. I'm in school. Once I finish school, I'll be in a much better spot financially. And right now, I'm getting prepared. Because with finances, with more money comes more responsibility. So I just want to be a wise steward over what I'm blessed with. But you know what? Y'all know we always want more. We want to make $1 million a year. But seriously, how are you going to manage $1 million a year when you can't even manage, what, $20,000 a year? So, you know, right now, in the season that you are in the financial season, whatever, make sure you're handling that well. And by handling that well, I mean budgeting, using your money wisely, not spending money on frivolous things, investing your money, find out more about investments rather than keeping your money under the mattress or, you know, letting it just sit in a savings account. Look into some investments. It's 2018, hashtag secure the bag. We need to get more financially savvy, especially as black people, y'all. We don't be knowing nothing. We don't be knowing nothing about credit. We don't know anything about anything. So let's get a little savvy. There's access to things. Get on the internet. You can find out anything you need on the internet. And these investment companies, they have people that will talk to you, that will break these things down so you can understand how everything works, the stock market, blah, 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 blah. And it doesn't even have to be a stock. You can be invest in a business, a small business. You can start your own business. You can invest in somebody else's business. You know, make your coins work for you. So right now in my life, I'm also investing in myself, not only financially, but physically, spiritually, physical, my diet. I've changed my diet. I've talked about this a lot, so I'm not going to talk about it too much. But yes, I cut out the meat and the dairy. Spiritually, I had to really kind of fix what I was putting into myself spiritually. I'm a cell phone girl. I'm always on my cell phone, so I downloaded my Bible app. And it's good to get on that the first thing in the morning, because I used to get up and I'll check Instagram or Twitter or whatever. But now I get up and I look at my Bible app, and you kind of want to get in that state of mind. It doesn't have to be a Bible app. I understand everybody is not all Christian and things like that. You know, there's something. Get some inspirational quote. Get an inspirational quote app or something like that, because you want to just feed positivity into yourself. I also had to clean up the things that I watch on TV and the podcast I listen to, because I listen to podcasts. I used to listen to podcasts all day, and I used to have a job in an office where I could do that. So I used to listen to things like The Read and a bunch of stuff like that, and cussing and da da da. So I had to cut all that out. So everything I listen to now, all the podcasts I listen to now, they're all clean. What can I think of off the top? Clean Ears is one I listen to, because they're spiritually based, but they talk about entertainment and things from a godly standpoint. They actually gave me a shout out on their podcast. So, you know, if you haven't checked out Clean Ears, check them out. And I also, their voices are cheerful. I love to hear happy black women just talking, because, I mean, you can put on so many podcasts and it's just black women just cussing and talking about sex and da-da-da. But I mean, they're happy. I love happy black people. Like, when you meet just a happy spirited black person, just keep them around. I just love it. Another one I listen to is Jesus and Jollof with Lovey and Yvonne Orji. And you might know her from Insecure, maybe some other things. But yes, it's a clean podcast, no cussing. They're very entertaining. And when I tell you, y'all, these ladies be dropping jewels, motivation, inspiration, and they're funny at the same time. So please check out Jesus and Jollof. And if you are a type of person who likes to listen to sermons, I have listened to so many pastors. I've tried to, but the one that stuck with me, the one I still listen to this day, is Forward City with Pastor Travis Green. He is also a gospel artist. Would I call him gospel or Christian? I don't know. But anyways, yeah, he has a church called Forward City, and the podcast is Forward City Podcast. Just look it up under that on iTunes. And when I tell you, that man blesses my life. Every time I listen to him, he just gives me just gems and the tools I need, because, you know, I need it constantly. I need to hear these kind of things constantly. I try to listen to only positive things. I listen to positive music. I stopped listening to, like, rap music and Beyonce. I mean, I am a Beyonce stan. I can't help it. I've been listening to Destiny's Child since I was a teenager. So, you know, I have a love for Beyonce, but sometimes some of this stuff is really not doing anything for you spiritually. So you got to kind of, you know, phase it out a little. Now, I'm not going to lie. You know, if she had an album, I might download it and listen to it. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, that's just not what I want to be feeding myself every day. I mean, the only thing that I still do watch a little bit of reality TV, and not all reality TV is bad. Okay, I think I'm going to have to let The Housewives go. I let Married to Medicine go because at first I think it kind of started off where, you know, the women were classy and doctors' wives and look at our lives. But, y'all, it's just gotten too messy. Can't do it anymore. It's not doing anything for me spiritually. I still watch Black Ink Crew because I don't know. I've been watching it from the beginning. I feel like they're just real life people and they really just showcase real problems. But it's really gotten too messy. I'm going to have to let that go. I feel like I'm preaching, y'all. I feel like I'm preaching to you guys. I'm not a preacher. I'm not perfect. You know, I'm just trying to do better. And if that's something that you're thinking about doing, I would say give it a do a challenge. Try 10 days without, you know, the ratchet influences, the ratchet media influences, and get into positive things, like get into your Bible or get into motivational speaking, or just only listen to motivational and inspirational things that, you know, make you want to do better in life. And just give it 10 days and just see how it just changes you in that short period of time. All right, moving on. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're at the end of the month, so I didn't mention it in my previous podcast, I don't think. So I just want to talk about it just a little bit. So, of course, we're always curious about the age that you should start getting the mammograms, and that is at age 45. You should definitely get them annually. So if you know somebody, your auntie, your TT, or somebody, be like, girl, go get them titties checked. You know, we love a good titty, so we just got to make sure that everything is going accordingly. You should be doing your self exams anyway, I think, at all ages. I do them. You know, you rub it in a circular motion. I'm sure you can go on YouTube or something to figure out how to do it, or talk to your gynecologist. But, you know, rub your boobs in a circular. How does it go? But any type of abnormality in the breast or the nipple or in the underarm area, you might just want to get that looked into, because cancer is just taking so many people out. And it's just it's such a horrible way to go. It is a horrible way to go. And I just pray for anybody who is going through that or has a family member that's going through that. So early detection is very important. Very important. So let's do our self-checks, self-breast-checked exams, and get our mammograms. So guys, as I am sitting here, I'm just thinking, like, every week, this is my podcast is a woman's empowerment session. I feel like that is what I'm doing here. I'm empowering you beautiful women to be your best and live your best lives. I'm sitting here, I'm luxuriating in my beautiful living room. Guys, I just want to encourage you to decorate your homes and really make it your own. The last home that I lived in, it was a rental, so I really didn't do anything to it. And it was kind of like me and my husband, we kind of just merged our stuff together. So it was like half of my furniture and half of his furniture. And it was just like this crap thrown in there. And my husband has horrible taste in furniture. I'm not being shady. We talk about this all the time. So it wasn't me. I didn't like the way the house looked. And when I walked in, I just didn't go, I didn't get a feeling of just yes, of comfort. So in this home, it's totally different. My husband was like, look, I want you to just decorate the house. You do the inside and I'll do outside. So he does like backyard and garden stuff like that. And I mean, he likes judging too, not just me. So I did the whole inside of the house, except maybe my son's room. He did that. But yeah, it just looks so beautiful in here. And I'm just proud when people come over. I'm just proud of how things look, of how, you know, I decorated everything. And when I get compliments, I'm like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love it too. So yes, get out there, buy a candle, fix your house up, ladies. And that can go for men as well, you know. Customize your house to how you like it. Make sure you're comfortable because you work hard. You do a lot in life. You deserve to come home to a beautiful place. You deserve it. Get as many throw pillows and fur throws as you want. My husband hates the throws. He just does not get a throw. I love it. So zhuzh it up all the way up. Do it up. Okay, guys, so moving on, LeBron James. When did LeBron James become woke? And I think we are able to receive from him because he doesn't have like any scandals in his life with his marriage and all that, and he's married to like his longtime girlfriend and they have kids. There's no outside babies, because I feel sometimes when you have a messy life, I know me, I don't know about y'all, but I know if you have a messy life, you have a lot going on, and you try to preach to the saints, I'm just like, okay, nobody wants to hear that from you. You can have several seats. But I saw a promo for his barbershop show where he's sitting in a barbershop and just really talking about issues that face the black community. And I thought that was, I mean, I'm really proud of him for doing that. He doesn't have to do any of that. He can just sit on his pile of money. And of course he has the school where it's free for, I guess it's underprivileged school kids from his old neighborhood. And I think that's really commendable. I like to see people who have the money to do so out here doing things to make a difference. I feel like more athletes should be out here doing things like that, because you have so much money. How much money do you really need? Like, how much excess do you really need? Do something to change your community. Do something that actually, I mean, you'll actually feel good about yourself after doing it. But, you know, that's my mindset. I'm mature. You know, I'm a little bit older. You know, sometimes these guys get up in the league and they're like 18 years old. And you expect them to have some sort of social responsibility. And that's just not fair. I say all that to say I appreciate brother LeBron for all he's done. I was watching, why is he always dancing in public? He's just so big. He just looks so big, and he's just like a tree dancing. He's so awkward looking. But anyways, God bless you, brother LeBron. Be blessed. Continue on with the good works. All right. Did you guys see the new Red Table Talk with Will and Jada? I was, you know, of course I saw Will was going to be on the show, so I had to tune in, because they really were one of the first like real black love couples that were out there in the media, and they kind of made being married look like something good. And I'm just going to be honest, in my case, I don't really know. I didn't grow up around any happy black married couples, or I don't even think anybody in my family was really married like that. I think maybe one. And they had a lot of mess going on. So it was just so good to see them on TV, both beautiful black people, beautiful children. And they were just great examples to us all, not just black people. They were just, you know, it was just good to see them. But of course, every marriage, now I know nothing's perfect. While watching this, I'm always curious as to why Jada is so honest about everything. Why is she so open about talking about her life, because she just doesn't need to do this. All right, just having a little sip of water. She doesn't need to do all this stuff. We don't need to know anything about her, but maybe it's cleansing for her. Watching the two of them sitting there, I kind of got the feeling, I feel like it's a real marriage, because you hear so many rumors, and this is a part two interview. So next week, I'm gonna talk about the next part of the interview. So they didn't talk about any of the scandal or rumors or anything they had going on. They kind of just really talked about the beginning of the relationship. Yes, but as I was saying, the vibe I get from them is they're a real couple, because a lot of times you see people on TV and it's like, oh, boo, 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 I love you. We're holding hands. It's been 30 years and we still up each other's butts and we just love each other. I just love his farts. I love everything about him. And trust, that's nowhere near the truth. So they kind of had a vibe of, yeah, we did this. We still together. We sticking it out. Because that's really the vibe of marriage. Like when you're with somebody for a long time, it's just like, yes, we did it. We've been through a lot. Ups, downs, trials, and tribulations, my Jesus, but we are still here. We stuck it out. So something that stuck with me is that he said during his marriage, his first marriage, he met Jada and they just had a conversation and there was a connection and he knew it. So he said he went to dinner with his wife, his then wife, who is now his ex-wife, and he had to go to the restroom and he started crying because he felt like he was married to the wrong person. He felt like he should have been married to Jada. Even feeling this way, he said he would have never gotten a divorce. He never wanted to get a divorce. Yo, Will Smith is really like a unicorn. He's like a black unicorn. There's just not many people like him. And maybe that's attributes to his level of success in his field, because there's just not many people like that. Then he said that his wife told him she wanted to leave the marriage. She wanted a divorce. And he said he told her no. And she told him, you really want to stay married to someone who doesn't love you? And he said when she said that, that's when he had to let her go. And after that, he called Jada and was like, are you seeing anybody? And Jada said no. And he was like, okay, well, now you're seeing me. And she was like, okay. So I'm thinking, in my mind, I'm like, this ex-wife, what is going on with this lady? What was going on that she left Will Smith? They never talked about that, though. But if you have a man who wants to stay in it and work it out with you, that's something. I mean, I would have tried to work it out. If he's willing to work through your issues, and you know, you guys have money so you can, you know, try to go to counseling, but she was just ready to go. So what happened? I don't know, ladies. I'm just gonna say this. Don't let your pride keep you away from a good man, because I mean, Will Smith, it's not like Charlie the Mechanic, it's Will Smith. Anyways, so another thing that struck me with them is that they said in 20 years of marriage they never cursed at each other or raise their voices to one another. It sounds a little crazy. It does. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, honestly, my husband and I, we really don't argue like that either. We have, now don't get me wrong, but honestly, we've probably had like 3 fights, no more than 3 fights. And we don't yell. We're not yellers. We're not confrontational with each other. And I know that when I do fight with him, I'm not going to try to throw the low blow and, you know, discredit him as a man, because once you say things about a man's manhood, he's always going to have it in the back of his mind that you feel this way about him. So I don't want him to feel like he's less of a man because I'm mad that he didn't, clean up after himself or something crazy like that. So when you're arguing with your mate, you want to be careful. Use your words wisely. Don't go all the way in. Like, he's not a nigga on the street, excuse my language, but he is your husband. So always keep that in your mind. This is your children's father, etc., etc. I think the reason why we don't fight is because we respect each other. And for one, certain things, we don't take certain things too seriously. He's a good man. Like, he takes care of us. Always, I mean, all that's just in my brain. So whenever I just want to go at him, I just can't, because he's just a good dude. When you have somebody who takes care of his family, he's not out here running the streets. I know where he's at. I can call him at all times and he answers the phone. So I appreciate that. I appreciate him on many levels. So Will was saying that whenever they would get upset with each other, he would kind of have to walk away and say, we'll just revisit this later. And I mean, it's so simple. Like, these little simple little tidbits. Yes. If you know, girl, you know, you're about to pop off. Just let that man walk away and, you know, you walk away, or you can just say, look, baby, right now I'm about to pop fully off. I'm at 10. I'm hot. So I'm going to walk away and we're going to cool down and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about it when we're level headed. Because right now nothing is going to be accomplished. We're just going to be fussing at each other. Then we're going to be mad about the issue plus what we said in the argument. But child, you know, some of y'all like to fight. Some of y'all like to be in that. So, but I say this often, I ain't going to let nobody have me ulcering up. I ain't going to let nobody stress me like that. No. Mm-mm. You're going to be arguing by yourself. You're going to be fussing and hollering by yourself. You know, that comes with age and maturity. And I'm just going to tell you now, I'm a little bit older. I might be a little older than people listening. All of that fussing and fighting, it ain't worth it. Don't do it. Learn to control yourself. Another thing they talked about was depression. Jada was, I don't even know if they labeled it depression, but that's what it was. In their marriage, because sometimes I do feel like people throw out depression a lot. They're like, oh my goodness, I'm so depressed, or even the word crazy. Oh, she's crazy, when, you know, that's not the case. But feeling depressed is, you know, and people didn't understand it because she had everything. She had the money, the husband, the kids, the big house, etc., etc. And all those things she had, she was still unhappy. If you feel that, I want you to recognize this in yourself. If you have everything that you want and you have all the material things and you have the recipe for what other people might think is happiness and you're still sad, that is a sign. That's depression. That is definitely depression. I have dealt with depression in my adult life, and it's usually something spirals it off. Like some event will spiral it off. I wish that I had some help, some professional help, some therapy to help me get through these thoughts, because I really didn't have the tools to cope with them. I would kind of just sit in it and it would kind of just go away after a while. But I'm realizing that, yes, I should have had some type of therapy, and I really needed to do the work to heal myself and get to the problem, get to the root of why I'm depressed. And, you know, y'all, it's always childhood stuff. It's always some stuff that happened, traumatic childhood stuff with me. But I don't want to get too much into, you know, I don't want to make a whole episode about me being depressed, my bouts with depression. If you guys are interested in that, just let me know and I'll talk about it, because, you know, I love to talk. I've come to a place in my life where I'm not embarrassed about anything that's happened to me in the past. And I used to be like, I didn't want to talk about anything. Like, I was just, perfect, everything's fine. But now I'm like, I'll talk about anything with anybody. Come on, especially women. Like, I connect with women and I'm like, girl, let's sit down, let's talk. Oh, this happened to you? This happened to me too. This is how I dealt with it. This is what, you know, that's me. Back to Will and Jada. Jada was depressed because she was basically living this life. This is not the life she chose. She said when she met Will, when she started dating him, she had moved back to Baltimore. She had left Hollywood and she bought a farm. So that was the life that she wanted. And then when she started dating Will, you know, he brought her into this whole world of, you know, celebrity and fame, and that's really not what she wanted. And Will was out there living his dreams, living his best life, and, you know, being a $20 million man, and she was basically at home with the babies, raising kids. And, you know, of course, mothers, we all love our kids, blah blah blah, but, you know, being a mom and housewife is not always everybody's aspiration. That's just not what they want for their lives. That's not what they see for their lives. For me, for instance, I love my kids, but I'm definitely not like a stay-at-home mom type. I need to work, because I don't really feel useful when I'm not working. I like to feel like I'm doing something, or I'm giving back to society. That's what I like to do. I like to work and I like to be busy. Even though when I am working, I'm complaining about it. But I have to work. I have to get out there. I like a check. I like receiving a check for work that I've done. So to be honest, if I was going to be a housewife for the rest of my life, I would probably end up being depressed too. I probably would. I want to start businesses. That's what I want to do. I do little things now and I want them to grow into something. Like, you know, I started my little merch. I have my little t-shirts online, and I really wanted that to mature into like an online boutique. I'm into that. And this podcasting thing, I would love for this to mature into a stream of income, because I always wanted to be a radio host. I always wanted to be on the radio. I used to listen to the radio all day, every day. But that was back when, you know, radio was good. I don't know what they're doing now. Like when Wendy Williams and Angie Martinez were on the radio back in the day, and like I didn't even want to hear the music. I wanted to hear the talk more than the actual music. So this is definitely something that I'm into. Even though this is not the career field I'm going into, this is not what I'm going to school for. I'm going to school for nursing. Random. But, you know, I want to open up a clinic when I get my, you know, because you don't have to be a doctor to open up clinics and things like that. So I want to open up that kind of business. I just want all, you know, all kind. I want to do everything. I want to do a lot. And life is short, so I'm on it. Like, I got a little bit of time to do a whole lot, and I have to get my kids through college. I don't want to have them to have to worry about paying loans and all that, so I want to be able to pay for my kids to go to college and buy them a car and make sure they have a good life. You got to invest in your kids, because I want them to invest in me. I want them to take me. You know, when I retire, I want my kids to call me up and say, okay, Mom, we're going to India. We're going on a, you know, that's the kind of life I want for my children. But what I want for them is obviously going to be different than what they want for themselves. So, you know, I just want them to be happy. I'm going to do what I can, and it's on them to do the rest. And I love them all the way through it. Speaking of my children, how do you talk to your children about death? My daughter, my 6-year-old she is really into. Okay, it started out with them letting her watch a documentary in school about 9/11. And this is first grade, mind you. So she just has all these questions because they really don't even understand death. But she understood that a lot of people die. So she came home and she's like, Mommy, so this happened in New York. All those people died. And I was like, what? So she starts telling me, you know what? And then, oh my God, okay, let me not even fast forward. So I tried to explain to her best way I could what happened. And then I caught her in her bedroom watching, because she has like a Fire Stick so she can watch YouTube. So I found her in her bedroom watching a documentary about 9/11. And I'm like, whoa, little girl, what are you doing? She's 6, mind you. And she's just like, Mommy, were you there? And I explained to her, yes, because at the time when 9/11 happened, I was in Manhattan. Like, that's crazy. I always have that story. And I was in school. So I was probably like, what, maybe 20 blocks away from the World Trade Center. So I wasn't affected. I was in school. They came and they came in the classroom and told us. And everybody was like, okay, whatever. We didn't even take it as a big deal. Until we heard that another plane hit the second building, and then we were like, oh, okay, this is scary. So I lived in Staten Island at the time, and you have to take a ferry. It's like a 30-minute ferry to get to Staten Island from Manhattan. So first of all, I had to take the train from where I was to get to the ferry to get to Staten Island where I lived, and all the trains were shut down. They shut everything down. So I could not get home. I was stuck in the city. And I went to one of my friend's house, but I remember calling home and was I living with my boyfriend? I was living with my boyfriend at the time, honey. I had moved out and, you know, I thought I was grown. So I was living with my boyfriend and I called him, and I think I called my mom, my sister, and I was like, oh, y'all, yes, I'm in Manhattan, but I'm okay. And I just got the feeling like nobody even cared. Like, they were like, oh, okay, whatever. And I was like, dang, I'm out here in the city. Y'all don't even care. But anyways, that's a whole nother podcast. So I found a way home. I took a bus. So how did I get to that bus? I was able to find one train that took me to Brooklyn. And I got on, there was a bus, the 53 bus, that would take me from Brooklyn all the way to Staten Island. So that's how I ended up getting home that night. But, y'all, it was just a scary time because, I mean, obviously, it was just, just being in New York at that time, it was depressing, it was scary, it was sad. You didn't know what was going to happen next. They were shutting down trains because right after that, there was like anthrax powder that people were sending in people's mails. Or people thought that, I remember one day somebody said that I was on a train that was delayed, and they said it was because there was an anthrax threat on the track. Somebody saw some white powder and they thought it was anthrax. Like, just, it was just so crazy. And around that time, I had like within a few months, one of my classmates had passed away from sickle cell. She was like 23. And then my brother had passed. I was just kind of really going through it. It was depressing. And Aaliyah died too. And you know, when you young, all that kind of stuff, just, you know, I was just like, oh my God, I got to get away. I want to get out of here. I don't want to live in New York no more. I was so paranoid, and there was always, you know, the threat of, you know, they like to keep you scared. So there was always a threat of another terror attack happening. So I was just like, you know what? I have to get out of New York. I have to go. And that was kind of what led me to, and plus the boyfriend that I was living with, that was going like sour. I should have never been living with my boyfriend at that age anyway. But all that together balled up just made me decide to move to Texas. And that's when I moved to Houston. But back to my daughter, she still to this day is still asking me questions about how many people died and how they died. And then there was that one image of the body falling from the buildings, and she's curious about that. And then she's asking me about heaven and angels, and when we die, are we going to see each other? Are we going to be all together again? And then, I mean, I try to explain to her. I shouldn't be creeped out about it because death is a major part of life, and I shouldn't be. But I try to explain these things to her in a way that she can understand. But then it's like she really doesn't understand. So I'm trying to break it down, but it's just hard. And my oldest son, he never asked me about any of this stuff. So this is all brand new, but he hasn't asked me since. But these kids, look, I'm telling you, y'all, they will have you working overtime. This little girl here, man, y'all, and she's six and she's reading books. So, you know, we had this Bible book. So I don't know where it came from, but it was like Bible stories for kids. And she read the whole thing. And then she was like, well, you know what, Mom, I don't want to read that book anymore because there was too much dying in that book, and there was killing. I'm not gonna read that book anymore. I was like, okay, baby, y'all, these kids are so smart. So election is coming up. Are you guys gonna vote? I always vote. I do. It's just something, ever since I turned of age, I just had to go do it. And of course I'm voting. I did a poll on my Instagram, The Avenue ZC. How you doing? Follow me. And I asked my followers, I don't have that many, but I just said, are you guys going to vote? And I got 100% no on that. So I'm just curious, do we care? I mean, are we voting? What is going on? Do we feel like it's important? I feel like it's an obligation for me. I feel like it just took so much for Black people to be able to vote in this country. I just kind of feel like morally responsible to do it. So that's why I go out and do it every year. So I will definitely be at the polls in a few days. Hopefully you will too. And, you know, the right polls. Ew. Oh, yeah. What else is coming up? Halloween. I'm not doing anything for Halloween. I'm not taking my kids trick-or-treating because they just don't do that around here. And I'm not taking them out of town to do a trick-or-treating. So I think I'm just going to make them like a basket with candy in it and just give it to them and, you know, make little baskets for them. As long as they get candy, they'll be all right. And I remember that was really all it was about anyway. We used to love trick-or-treating. Yo, trick-or-treating was lit. My sister used to take us to, like, the good neighborhood. It was, oh, my God, we got so much candy. We was eating on candy for months. Give them a little candy. That's all they need. And I rations out my candy. I ration it out. I'll let them have one piece at a time. Yeah, that's crazy. And I didn't realize, like, the way I ration out snacks and things might be crazy until I see how other people are just like, hey, baby, eat it all. Eat all the candy. Drink all the soda. Drink all the juices. Get all the cavities. And, you know, I'm like, nope, one at a time. Nope. Okay, one cup of juice a day. You already had your juice. Now you can drink water for the rest of the day. But, I mean, y'all gonna thank me later when y'all have them good teethus. When them teeth are looking good, you will thank your mama. But child, I'm rambling. Let me just wrap it up here. Thank you guys for listening. Have y'all checked out my merch yet? No? Well, all you have to do is go to my Instagram and the link in the bio, the merch will be in there. Or you can just look up ZC_tees on Instagram and find it that way. Click the link in the bio. It's right there. Or you can just scroll to the description in whatever platform you're listening to and click on it there, because I'll put the link right there. Go get some merch. I have all kind of cool t-shirts there. I have a few cell phone cases, and I think I even got a pair of leggings on there, a sweatshirt, all that good stuff. You know, support Black business, support small businesses, support women in business, do all that. Show your girl some love. I mean, it's only $20. You get you a fly shirt you can wear and that it's unique and Everybody be like, oh, girl, where you get a shirt from? That is cute. Anyways, check out the website. Also, you can follow me on Facebook. Join my Facebook family. Like me on Facebook at The Avenue with Zara Chanel. I think I'm on Twitter, too, but you can find all that. I'm going to leave all this stuff in the description. Thank you so much, guys, and I hope you're blessed by this episode, and I don't ever want to cause confusion or anything in anybody's life. Everything I do is based in God, so I praise Him in all things I do. I want to wish you the best. I wish blessings and blessings upon your life. Y'all, life is not easy. Sometimes things get tough, but we just got to push on through no matter what goes on. If you are blessed with breath in your body and you can still push on, you have to push on. You got to push on through death of loved ones, through the loss of your job, just anything. Keep on pushing. Keep on pushing. Sometimes in life, you know, people will say, oh, how do you just tell me to get over? I'm not telling you to get over things, but my faith in God, that's what helps me get through the trials and tribulation. That's what helps me get through these things. And I hope you have some type of faith-based system set up for yourself, because sometimes your faith is literally all that you have. Thank you so much again for listening. I'm so blessed to have this platform to speak out to people and hopefully help people heal and think about things in a different way and, you know, be motivated, be courageous, do the best you can in life, y'all. Email me at theavenuezc@gmail.com for any questions, advice, comments. Tell me how you feel about the podcast. I would so appreciate it. I don't know who's out here listening, but I love you for listening anyway. Take care. Be blessed. Bye-bye.